How's Ellen?
Doing pretty well, thanks.
How's the, there's two Graces. How's the Grace I?
Well, she's doing well.
Grace and Lee and all. Well, that's from mother and father.
Okay, the following is an interview with Warren Bennett by Mary Height for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. We're studying prohibition in Nelson County's causes and effects. The interview was conducted in Taylorsville, Spencer County, Kentucky, on the main street of Taylorsville, May the 21st, 1989. Mr. Bennett, I understand you have a few Nelson County connections. Would you mind giving us a little update on your family, where they came from, and
In Nelson County, let's see now. Well, my grandfather and grandmother, Lily, both lived down on Salt River. And that's where I was born. And my grandfather married a lady from Louisville whose name was Anna Warren. And she came out to Goodwin Springs neighborhood to teach school. And married Ed Lilly, my grandfather. And they had several children, one of them named Hallie, who was my mother, and one named Warren, who became a Jesuit priest, and Bernard, who married Eleanor Foreman, and had 10 or 12 children. And as far as Nelson County can name my mother. My mother came from Nelson County, but she and my father lived in Spencer County all their lives. But they had 13 children, and there wasn't any Catholic school here. So we went over on the farm where my mother was born and raised and went to school in Fairfield and started out in the first grade at St. Michael's. And then my grandfather and grandmother moved to Fairfield. Several of my brothers and sisters moved over there and stayed with my grandfather and grandmother and went to Catholic school.
So you have a good family background there, don't you? Big,
you might call it that.
Okay, so you lived there for a while. Now, when did you come to Taylorsville?
I came to Taylorsville the year I graduated from St. Joe. I went to Fairfield 8 years, and then I went to St. Joe's Preparatory School from 32 to 36. And I graduated from St. Joe in 36 and came to Taylorsville and went to work the day I graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here ever since, except 4 years I was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. So you have a family business in Taylorsville, been quite here
since,
a long
since
time.
Since 1875.
Still run by the Bennetts, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And your grandfather, I assume, started that?
My grandfather started the business, and, well, that's not exactly right. His father
right.
started the business. My great-grandfather started the business, I've been told. His name was Ed Bennett, and Mr. Sam Simpson told me that he'd heard that he was raised in Fairfield, but I've never been able to find out where.
Mm-hmm.
And he died, my great-grandfather died, and then my grandfather, J.A. Bennett, took over the business, and he died in 1918, the year I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And us kids have been trying to run it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Six boys and seven girls. Now there are six boys here and one girl. The other girls are married and scattered all over the United States, and one's in Frankfurt, Germany.
Mm-hmm. And you're among the oldest in the family, right?
I'm next to the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to our topic again, Mr. Bennett, I'd like to see if you can remember anything about Prohibition around about these parts. Do you recall, you were very, very young when it was enacted, I know. You couldn't remember that, but do you recall anything when you first heard that word prohibition?
Yes, ma'am. When I was going to Fairfield School, I'm ashamed to tell you, there was a lot of bootleggers in Fairfield. I used to visit them about once in a while, I'm ashamed to tell you. And I can remember one time that word got here in Taylorsville that there was a load of whiskey coming through here during Prohibition. And we had a covered bridge over Salt River here. And we had a judge by the name of Thad Cheatham. And they called him and told him this load of whiskey was coming through. I'm not sure whether it was government whiskey. I'm almost sure it was government whiskey, but it could have been moonshine. But anyhow, they let the load of whiskey in some kind of an old dilapidated truck, a big load of whiskey, get in the bridge, and then they stopped up both ends of the bridge and took that whiskey and put it in the courthouse and locked it up for 2 or 3 days. And then my father told me that one night the word got out that Thad Cheatham was going to leave the courthouse unlocked that night. And the next morning the whiskey was all gone.
My gosh. Oh, that's quite a tale. So there was a lot of moonshiners over in that area and heading this way, because this county's been dry almost always.
That's right, but it's an awful wet, dry county.
That's right. Got close connections there, don't we?
Yes, ma'am. Hmm.
Well, did the Catholic people, you say, mention going to the Catholic schools over, how were they affected by, what were their attitudes on Prohibition?
I'm ashamed to tell you that I can't remember expressing themselves or attitudes, but as you know, most of the Catholics were made homebrew. I can remember some Catholics making homebrew and wine, and the Catholics all drank a little. The Baptists claimed that they didn't drink, but they hid out. They always heard the Baptists hid out and did their drinking. The Catholics drank, didn't care who knew it. The Catholics drank out in the open, more so than the Baptists. The Baptists hid and did their drinking.
Mm-hmm. Of course, like I say, the big Catholic families in Nelson County have owned the distilleries for years and years,
right.
Generations.
But I've always heard that they started out in bootleggers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand there was a distillery in Taylorsville.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't know it. I reckon we were talking about the same distillery.
That's only recently did I find that out, too.
I had a friend by the name of Weber Jewell, and he gave me a deed to his great-grandfather's farm. And in that deed was $5,775, something like that, worth of slave property.
Mm-hmm.
One big black man, $500, one little yellow girl, $50. They were priced according to the work they could get out of them in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom of that deed that Mr. Weber Jewell showed me were some large copper kettles. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Jill, what are all these copper kettles in this deed for? Well, he said, right up this hall from where my daddy lives now, there used to be a distillery. And I said, well, I didn't know that. He said, that's all I can tell you. There was a distillery up that hall, and those copper kettles came from that distillery. And when they sold the farm, they sold those copper kettles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same distillery you had in mind?
Well, I suppose so, but it went down below where Brashears Creek empties into Salt River, right? Below that area or up the creek?
I don't believe. I think this, if what you're saying so, there was two distilleries here, because this one was up to Elk Creek.
Oh, okay.
Up a hollow, and it wasn't close. It was a fairly close to Brashears Creek, but it wasn't close to Salt River.
That's true. Well, it sounds more likely.
There could have been two here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always heard a lot of drinking on here.
Hmm. See, a lot of moonshining happened over this way then, huh?
Well, I didn't hear. I never heard of as much moonshining in Spencer County as I did in Nelson County.
Right.
But I've been told that my grandfather Lily had a still on his farm. And Thad Cheatham told him that, found out he had it, and told him that if he didn't get rid of it or do something about it, he was going to raid him. Mm-hmm. So they loaded that distillery in the wagon and put gates over the top of the wagon and made it look like they were hauling hogs or something, and took it through Bardstown over someplace in Nelson County and set it back up and started operating again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he had a little forewarning. That's pretty nice for him.
That's right.
Oh, goodness. Well, was this a pretty poor county? It was mostly dependent on farming, wasn't
it? Yes,
there?
Ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, mm-hmm. It's a poor county. Mm-hmm. This, you didn't ask me this, but I'll tell you. I don't know whether you want it on your record or not. My great-grandfather had a brother here, and they couldn't make a living at the store we had in 1875. And my great-grandfather's brother left here and walked to Texas, and they didn't hear from him for 10 years. And he said, I've heard my grandfather said that he left here barefooted and broke. And he walked to Texas and swam creeks and rivers and fought Indians. And 10 years later, he showed up in Whitesboro, Texas.
My goodness.
And now, his great-granddaughter has come back here and married Jack Bennett.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you're in
that place. We moved to Bardstown, and I can remember the man's name. It was on the man's name was Smith.
Is that right?
And they operated over there for a while during Prohibition,
mm-hmm.
which was against the law, right?
So it closed down over here during that Prohibition period?
Well, the judge got scared of my grandfather, and he told him he was going to raid them. So before he could get them raided, they moved it.
Mm-hmm. Where did it set up in Nelson County?
Over on the, out at Botlin, back on the river behind Botlin.
Yeah, down on the Borders area.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I knew about that one, but I didn't know it came from this area.
It came from my grandfather Lilly's place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed to tell you.
Do you recall the priest or the ministers in the area being outraged when all this outlawing and moonshining was happening?
When I can first remember, Mary, the priest from Samuels, this was a mission church, and the priest from Samuels came over here every third Sunday and said Mass. And then the next Sunday he went to Mount Washington. And since I was going to Fairfield School, I had learned how to serve Mass. And my father had gone to a Catholic school someplace. And I never will forget, the priest came here, was named Father Smith. Father Leo Smith was the first one I can remember. And he said it was the only place, the Catholic Church, he ever saw a father and son serving Mass.
Uh-huh. Shoot. So they pretty much tolerated that.
But we had some priests here that Father Smith was a good sport, and we had some priests here that would take a little nip themselves, and I can remember one priest that had to take insulin, and he'd take a shot of insulin, and then he'd take a shot of liquor.
I've heard that one too. Oh, goodness. So your law enforcement here kind of tolerated your grandfather's, and he just picked up and moved to Nelson County, didn't he?
That's what
he kind of gave him a little warning, didn't
he? Yes, ma'am.
Well, did that happen in other areas too?
I don't know, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one that I really knew that is the truth.
Mm-hmm. So the law enforcement, a lot of times they just kind of overlook these things.
That's right. And here's something that I'd forgotten about, Mary, that might be interesting. There was a moonshiner from Bardstown used to come over here. And every first Monday, all the farmers would bring their livestock and everything to town, and we'd have auctioneers, and they would sell their livestock in the public square. And there's an old-time colored boy works for us, and he told me that one of the moonshiners from Bardstown would bring several gallons of moonshine over here, and they'd put each gallon in a paper sack. And this color, they'd give this colored boy the sign, and when they gave him the sign, he delivered it to the courthouse and put it in a different people in the courthouse trash basket. You'd put a gallon in the judge's office, and a gallon in the sheriff's office, and a gallon in different people's office, and that moonshine came from Bardstown, they told me.
Well, I'd say they were looking the other way, weren't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, did they have a lot of, I know they didn't during Prohibition, but what about the bars in the area? They didn't?
They didn't have any bars as such in Taylorsville. There was only one that I can remember, and that was Herm Jewell. He had what you might call a bar, and they'd raid him once in a while, and they claimed he couldn't find anything because he'd have it in a tea kettle or something like that. Mm-hmm. And two men got in there and got to fighting over 30 cents over a drink. And one man's name was Ralph Taylor, and the other one was John Will McGee. And I was hauling brick out of our old store when we were building a new store. And we left here with a load of brick, and when we came back, somebody told me we'd missed all the excitement because two men came out of that bar. One of them was Ralph Taylor and one was John Will McGee, and Ralph Taylor shot John Will McGee in front of the bar in Taylorsville and killed him in cold blood.
My goodness. What was the outcome of that?
Mr. Taylor went to the pen and stayed a few years and got out, and I don't think he came back to this territory, but Mr. McGee was killed instantly, they said, in cold blood.
Mm-hmm. Needless to say, the bar probably closed too.
I don't believe it did.
Really?
The man ran it, his name was Herm Jewell, and he was hard to do anything with. And he used to ride up and down Main Street shooting in the pool room, and the man in the pool room would ride up and down the street and shoot in his bar, and they never would get any closer to each other than that.
Just kept each other at bay, huh?
Yes. Then I don't know whether you want it on your tape or not, but the man that ran the bar, I was riding the school bus from Bardstown out to Cox's Street, and we came out to Cox's Creek store one day, and there was always lots of kids waiting to get on the school bus. There was a car sitting on the right there in front of Hall's store at Cox's Creek, and nobody on the porch. And I recognized the car as belonging to the bartender in Taylorsville. His name was Herm Jewell. So somebody went in the store and came back and said, John Dillinger and his gang have been here. And so they went in the store and said they wanted some bologna and cheese and crackers and Coca-Cola's and stuff. And the hall boys told them just to help themselves because they thought it was John Dillon in the beginning. And it turned out to be this Herm Jewell.
Yeah.
And he was just a prankster, but he was drunk that day. And he drove off without paying. In a few days, our store was next door to his bar, and he told me about it. Told me he's ashamed of himself and said he was going back over there and pay off for the bologna and cheese and crackers when he sobered up. But that day he told him he was John Dillinger, and that time John Dillinger was on the loose.
Yeah. That must have caused quite a stir over there, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
They had a lot of inter-county rivalry, didn't they?
Yes, ma'am. Person myself bought some moonshine one time, and on Sunday we were playing pool. And this relation of yours let the bottle slip out of his trousers and break on the concrete floor. And in a few minutes the floor turned snow white. And I asked him, I said, what in the world caused that? He said, you don't know? And I said, no. And he said the moonshine was cooked with lye.
Oh, my son.
And said that's what turned the floor white. I said, well, what's that lye do in that moonshine to our stomach? He said, what do you think?
Well, was he intending to sell that or drink it himself?
The man made it. We were, we, the, The relation of yours and myself were already drinking. And the man that sold it at that time was named Clay Gritton.
I bet that changed your ideas right quick, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I know over in Fairfield had quite a good time over there, had a tavern. And
I used to know a man that worked in there, named John Smith. I didn't know he worked over there, but I went out to his store a few years ago and I started naming people in Fairfield. And he said, I used to work in the bartender in the tavern at Fairfield.
Yeah, my.
And you know, there was another shooting in front of it. And some of my kinfolks involved in that, and that was Hike Clemens and Tom Sims. And I don't know whether the tavern had anything to do with it or what, but they were selling up an estate. And the farm is the first farm below the Catholic Cemetery at Fairfield. And they fell out over selling that estate. And Tom Sims shot Hike Clemens at close range with a shotgun so close that the what do they call it in a shotgun shell, the paper, the wadding,
mm-hmm.
He was so close that the wadding went in Hike Clemens' intestines. So the law, they called the law, and Hike Clemens had a pistol on the seat of his car, so they never did do anything about it because they were laying for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them had a gun, so they... And Hike Clemens married Lily Ash, and Lily Ash was raised by my grandfather and grandmother Lily.
Mm-hmm.
So they left and moved to Florida then, never did have any children. And in the last few years of their life, they moved back to Louisville, and both died and were buried. And I was pallbearer for both of them over to St. Rose's over Springfield.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of good memories there, don't you?
Some of them are good, I reckon. Some of them are not so good.
Oh, gosh. Well, we won't wear you out here. I know you're not feeling up to par, but I couldn't pass this opportunity up for...
I've been telling those tales for years, and they are the awful truth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, do you know anything that happened like that over in Bardstown area? Did it become pretty wild during Prohibition over there?
I was going to St. Joe.
That's right.
I went to St. Joe from 32 to 36, and I didn't hear. I was either too young or something. I never heard much about what was going on in Bardstown.
We had your head in the books, didn't you?
I should have, anyway.
During that time Prohibition ended, I thought maybe you might have...
I didn't hear it too much. I used to go out to Ball Town and try to sell stuff, and they were always gambling and playing poker and drinking out at Ball Town when I went out there, but I never did know many of the details. I used to go to New Haven, and I never will forget, I went to a place over there one time, and I got acquainted with a fellow named Squat Johnson, and I won him over. I asked him one time if he knew where I could get some moonshine. I had a brother-in-law wanted some moonshine. And he just stooped down on the counter and raised up and set a gallon of moonshine on the counter.
That's pretty handy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And then later on, he opened up a joint between New Haven and Bardstown and called it Helsinki.
That's right.
And he built him a little log jail behind his place, and on Saturday night, he would have a big party there, and I had a cool all refrigerator in his place on trial with a sign on the door, for sale by J.A. Van Pelzel. And I remember that anybody that got drunk, he would put them in that log jail and lock the door. And when the party was over that night, the dance was over, if anybody was up on their feet and would go home, he'd let them out. If he didn't, if they wanted to fight or wild, he'd call Bardstown, have them come take Bardstown, put them in jail.
Yeah, got pretty tough on the Bardstown people.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They were always fighting, and they were brothers, and they were John Thomas and Ben Werfel.
This at New Haven?
Yes, sir. And... when they'd get drunk, one of them, I can't remember which one, one of them's wife would leave him. And Squat Johnson would call me and say, Warren, Ben Werfel or John Thomas Werfel's wife left him. and said, if you bring them a new perfection cool-off, though, she'll come back to So I remember one time I took him a new perfection cool-off stove and his wife came back, and then a few months, Squat called me and said, the Werfels are separated again, said if you'd bring them around to the Maytag washer, they'd go back together. So I remember three things. I took him a new perfection cool-off stove and around to the Maytag and a GE refrigerator.
Oh boy, it got pretty expensive there.
And every time he came home so drunk, his wife left, and he'd have to buy her a new appliance to get her to come home.
Like she might have had a little hand in that too.
Yeah, they lived between Nelsonville. They lived between New Haven and Nelsonville down toward Lyon State. Then I had another man that I'd better not call any names. Came over here during Prohibition and called me. And he wanted to buy a 500-gallon propane gas tank. And he said he'd pay me whatever it was worth. And I told him we didn't sell gas tanks. He said, well, you could sell one, couldn't you? Not relevant. Yeah, if you give me $1,000, if it cost $500, I'd sell it to you for $1,000. And he counted me out $1,000 in cash and said, now, I'm going to bring this gas tank over there about one night a week. And I want you to fill it with propane gas, and I'm going to have it in a truck under a tarpaulin. And I want you to fill it and keep your mouth shut. And I reckon it's all right, because this is the first time I've ever told it. And he said, I'll pay you in cash. And I know he was going to cook the moonshine with that propane gas.
Yeah.
Two or three years, he'd bring it over here at night, and I'd fill it for him. I didn't know what he was doing with it.
You just kept your mouth shut.
That's right. And he nothing ever changed hands but cash.
He went from one end of the county to the other hand.
That's right. They cooked it with wood, and they cooked it with coal, and they cooked it with most modern fuel, Bennett's vodka. Yes.
Oh yeah, you all were just getting in the business about then, I guess.
Yeah,
that made it really efficient, didn't it?
Yeah. From Fairfield, and everybody said I looked like a knot on a log, and the horse was fast. And all the old timers told me, said, son, that horse is going to kill you. And that doesn't have any new prohibition, but I rode the horse 5 miles every day to school and back when I was in the first grade.
Now that's down there on the Lily Pike, right?
Yes, ma'am. And a lot of boys rode with us. There was Jack Frisco and Bob Greenwell and Joe Washburn and Bernard Washburn and William Miller Whiteside. And maybe I don't think I left out any of them, but nothing to do with Prohibition. Shirley Whiteside's had a little store there, and his son would go in there and swipe a sack of bull durum, and we'd go up on the hill, and Oliver Rogers' barn roll cigarettes, and we'd smoke them, and we thought we were big shots. Imagine if you go, now you want a glass of iced tea or something.
Well, is there anything else you want to say to conclude it, or you
I
think you've got a lot of good stories there.
Thank you. Enough of me to come here.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time when you're not feeling so well.
I've got a blood clot, or did have blood down my leg, but it doesn't bother, it doesn't hurt.
But you just got to be careful with it, right? Well,
now,
thank you.
I don't have to be careful with my mouth, I have to be careful with my leg.
Well, we'll check that out later. Well, thank you again, Mr. Bennett.
Right.